There's certain things that are written in the Siddur that, to be precise, when we see them there and we don't say them, we get very happy. Because we don't say them, and davening will be finished earlier. So you're probably familiar with the Machzer. For Shavuos, Pesach, Sukkot, and in the Machzer, there's something called Piyutim, both at night. You know what they're called at night?
Night Piyutim.
No, they're called Ma'aravos, from the word Ma'ariv. And then in the morning and Shacharis, in between the brachos before Kriyat Shema, they're called Yotzros. And then you have Piyutim in the Chazarat Hashatz of Shacharis and the Chazarat Hashatz of Musaf. And the majority of Am Yisrael that I know don't say them, and they're very happy because they look at them and they say, ah, davening's long enough, but we don't have to make it longer.
Does anyone say it?
Yes. And therefore, people get very happy. However, even in the new Sidurim and Machzorim that have been put out in the last few years that have totally eradicated it, for better or for worse, and taking it out of the Machzer or the Siddur, there's one thing that is still in there. Right at the beginning of the morning, right after the brachos that we say every morning, there is something called... Anybody? We say the brachos. After the brachos, there's korbanot. What is korbanot all about? Why do we say them every single morning? And it's interesting. All the piyutim were taken out. The korbanot are left in.
So how come they always skip it morning?
Well, I don't know who skips them. I don't.
They take any minyan. They say the beginning.
So I think your problem, Bennett, is that you have decided, and you made an assumption just now, and you have made an assumption just now, that it's an interesting assumption. And the assumption is that if we don't say them in shul, it's not obligatory to say. That assumption, I believe, is incorrect. And I'll explain why. Not everything has to have a minyan to it. For example, you do not need a minyan in the morning to say Al Netilat Yadayim when you wash your hands. So it's written in the Siddur, and we say it at home after we wash our hands, usually. Yes, there was a minhag once to say it in shul, but not. Brachos, we usually and should probably say on our own, though there are many shuls that say them publicly and people answer amen. However, when it comes to korbanot, it's in every Siddur, and therefore I'd like to suggest this morning, with the authority vested in me, quote-unquote, that it's 100% obligatory to say. As a matter of fact, if you just want to buttress what I just said with the following, I will tell you that the Rabbeinu Yonah, which is the Perush of the on the Reef in Meseches Brachos, says that saying korbanos every single morning is as obligatory as Kriyat Shema.
Wow.
So I want to make it clear that saying korbanos is obligatory. Whether you say it in your shul or not is irrelevant. It is obligatory to say. The question I want to deal with this morning is not is there an obligation to say it, but what is it all about? Why do we say it? It's in the Siddur. We should say it every morning. Why do we say it? There's a series of korbanos. First is the psukim about the Trumat Hadeshen, because in the morning, the Kohen used to take off a little ash from the Mizbeach before they started the work of the next day. Actually, to be precise, before the day started. Then it talks about the Ola. Excuse me. It talks about the Eish that was always on the Mizbeach. Then you talk about the Korban Tamid of the morning. Then you talk about the Ketoret Samim. And then there's a whole series of Mishnayos called Ezuhu Makoman, and finally Rabbi Yishmael Omer. That's the order, correct? So you have four passages from the Torah, then you have a bunch of passages from the Gemara and the Mishnas, and then you have a whole bunch of Mishnayos from Masechet Zvachim, and then you have Rabbi Yishmael Omer.
So do we say it in the Siddur, or do we say it because it's as if we're doing it when we can't do it? So instead of doing
it... So let's see. Why do we say it? So Bruce suggests, first and foremost, why do we say it?
Since we can't do it. This is the replacement for not being able to do it. At least learn it, say it. It's as if we're coming as close to doing it as we can to it.
So that's an interesting theory. So I don't have any tefillin. So I'll just say the parshas of tefillin, and good enough, you know?
Well, if you didn't have tefillin, if that was not possible...
That would be the way.
Might that be the way?
So Hashem said to put it on your hand and on your head, and since you don't have tefillin, or for example, you don't have a hand, God forbid, all you have to do is say the parshas, and that's good enough. So God says to Sheikh a lulav and an esrog. Let's say you don't have a lulav and an esrog. All you got to do is read ulkachtem lachem b'yom harishon, priyei tzadar kapot marim, the psukim from Parshas Emor. Good enough. Bruce, that's a very interesting chiddush you just made.
Yeah,
I don't know. God says to shake or to eat or to do, and you say it's good enough to say. You don't have to do nothing.
Okay, you look, if you're up in the Arctic Circle, there are no arba minim,
and then and therefore,
should it be better to at least say something when you can't do something?
The answer is that's a very novel way, but no, not very interesting, novel, interesting thing that your mouth can be in place of your hands shaking the lulav, eating the matzah, lighting the Hanukkah candles. All you got to do is talk about it, and it's good enough. Interesting assumption, Bruce. But Bruce is not totally off. Not totally off. There is a very important Gemara at the end of Masechet Tzvachim, one of the most important Gemaras. The Gemara there says as follows. Avram Avinu was told that he's going to capture the land, and his children are going to live in Israel. So he asks God, God, what happens when there is, how is it that my kids are going to be having the privilege of doing so? He says, because they're going to bring korbanos. So Avram Avinu saw already in prophecy there'll be a time without a mizbeach. And he said, well, what happens if there's no mizbeach and there's no korbanos? And God answered him exactly what Bruce said. Well, if they say it, it will be as if they brought it. So the first reason that we say korbanos every morning is in place of bringing them. We no longer have a mizbeach, unfortunately. We will in the future. We don't have the korbanot per se, the sacrifices. So if you say it, it is as if you brought it. We have another precedent of that in halacha. It's not totally off. If Purim comes out on Shabbos, as it does in Yerushalayim, in our common calendar, the halacha is you do read the Megillah earlier on Friday, but on Shabbos you're supposed to talk about the inyanim of Purim, and it's as if you read the Megillah. Something along those lines. The Gemara does not say as if you read the Megillah. It only says that with regard to korbanos. It uses a different language, but similar, a little different.
But yet, in my other cases, you said it really doesn't apply.
Other cases, you would have to prove it. But in the case of korbanos, it definitely applies. It's an absolute Gemara at the end of Masechet Tzvachim. That if there is no Beis HaMikdash, then, indeed, you say the korbanos in place of it. In other words, you woke up this morning. There's an obligation to bring korbanos. You do not have the ability to do it because there is no mizbeach. And therefore, you say it in place of bringing it. So bringing it is an absolute obligation. You cannot fulfill the obligation because of technical reasons. So you say it, and it's in place of bringing it. That's the first reason to say korbanos. But there's another reason to say korbanos. Anybody?
Well, for the learning to know what to do when the time comes again, by saying it every day, some people know exactly where, how, the order. They'll know for the future because they've been saying it,
So what you're saying, Bruce, is if you say it every day, you'll know how to bring it.
You'll know more than if you never said it. Mm-hmm. It'll be fresh in your...
You a Kohen, Bruce?
I am a Kohen.
You say korbanos every day?
Not every day.
Okay, if you did, you'd be able to know how to bring them?
Well, you know where it says where. Where
you know, you know that you know where it says where. You'll open up the sitter,
well,
I say.
It tells you the order of the korbanos. It tells you more or less where to
Bruce
bring
is
them.
On the right track. The second reason to bring to say korbanos has nothing to do with korbanos. It has to do with something totally different. There's a beautiful halacha that says that you're supposed to learn Torah every day. And the way to learn Torah every day, or at least every week, or at least for the majority of your life, big machlokas, is to divide your whole life, or your whole week, or your whole day, into thirds. A third in the written Torah, a third Mishnah, and a third what we call Gemara. So, if you look at the Siddur, we got it. You got Psukim from the Torah, as I said, four passages from the Torah. Then you have Gemaras. And then you have Mishnayos. So every single day, a person wakes up in the morning, before batting an eyelash, if he just follows the Siddur word for word, he basically has fulfilled this obligation of dividing up his Torah learning every day into a third. Third this, third this, third this. If he does it every day, then he's divided it the entire week. Pretty good. So at least every day, you have a little bit of all. A third of this, meaning the written Torah, a third of the Mishnayos, and a third of the Gemaras. So it has nothing to do, per se, with korbanot. But if you think about it, we're killing two birds with one stone.
Those are corporate animals.
Excuse the pun. We have the saying of korbanos, which is in place of bringing them. And then we have learning Torah. What's the nafkamina between the two? What is the practical ramification between these two explanations? So as I said, there's a siddur. They've eradicated piyutim, but not korbanos, so obviously it's an obligation to say it. I quoted the Rabbeinu Yonah in Maseches Brachos. Like we said, there's two reasons. Either it's in place of bringing the korbanos, or it's learning Torah. What's the practical ramification?
The practical ramification.
Ramification, as Bruce knows, means that if you have two points of view, it's very nice, but is there any difference between them halachically? Meaning halacha lemaise, as we go and continue to fulfill the halacha practically, is there any practical difference between them?
Yes.
Yes.
You might think in the days of the Benedictine existence, maybe you wouldn't have to say it if you have one view.
That's a beautiful, I didn't even think of that. Bruce says if there's a Beis HaMikdash, so you probably would not have to say the korbanos because you're bringing the korbanos. On the other hand, you still have to learn Torah. So perhaps you would get up in the morning and say everything in the Siddur as a fulfillment of learning third, but not in place of the korbanos. Okay. I would even add that if that be the case, maybe we would change it from korbanos to another passages in the Torah, whatever they might be. Another practical ramification. What else can you think of? Let me ask you a question. If I came here this morning and I gave the shir in Yiddish, word for word, would you be fulfilling the mitzvah of learning Torah?
No.
Why? For two reasons. Number one is you don't understand Yiddish. And number two is I don't understand Yiddish. So both of us wouldn't understand the word. In order to learn Torah, the Baal HaTanya, the first Rebbe of Lubavitch, who wrote a Shulchan Aruch HaRav, makes the distinction between the written Torah and the oral Torah. And he says that in the written Torah, even if you understand the word, you fulfill the mitzvah of learning Torah. But in the oral Torah, you have to understand. Now, if in the morning you say the korbanos, because it's in place of bringing the korbanos, all you got to do is say it. You have to understand the word. Just have to know how to read Hebrew with the vowels, and you say it. On the other hand, if it's a fulfillment of learning Torah, then maybe the psukim you're okay with, but the minute you get to the Mishnayos and the Gemaras, you got to understand every word. And if you don't understand every word, you didn't fulfill the obligation of learning a third every single day. So practical ramification number two is not just in a place where we would have korbanos, but in a place where you don't understand what you're saying. If you don't understand what you're saying, then on the one hand, you do have a fulfillment of as if you brought the korbanos, but on the other hand, you don't have a fulfillment of learning Torah. And what's a third ramification? Will this be close? Let's think about this. Who is obligated to learn Torah?
Men.
Who is not obligated to learn Torah?
Women.
It says explicitly in Maseches Kiddushin that a father is obligated to teach his son Torah. The Gemara is quick to point out this is an obligation from a father to son, but not to daughters. Or to be more precise, women can volunteer to learn Torah. I believe today there isn't a Torah institution that does not teach Torah to women, and I'm the happiest man in the world that is the case. But if you put me to the wall and ask, are they obligated? The answer is no. V'limadatem otam et b'neichem. We say that every morning as well. It's in the Siddur. Where, Bruce? Anywhere? Bruce, I picked on you too much. Bennett. V'limadatem otam et b'neichem. Kriyat Shema, twice a day. And you shall teach your male children. V'lo benotechem, says the Gemara. So, if a woman gets up in the morning, she can volunteer to learn Torah, and I would encourage it. I would even give the shir with pleasure. However, if she gets up in the morning and she asks, do I have to? So you'd say like this. A woman is obligated in korbanos because the korban that was brought every day on behalf of the Jewish people, be it the korban tamid that was brought in the morning and the afternoon, or the Torah tasamim brought in the morning and the afternoon, was brought on behalf of all the Jewish people, men, women, children, etc. So she would have to say korbanos because she's part of the Jewish people. It's like men are part of the Jewish people. I would even say women are more important to the Jewish people than men. Why?
They teach the new generation.
You just totally eradicated what I just said. We just said that women don't have to teach their daughters Torah. So you go right ahead and say, oh, because they teach a new generation.
The boys.
Why are women more important to Judaism than men? Because a man can go ahead and father children. Very nice. But if the baby is not born to a Jewish mother, the baby is not Jewish. So women are extremely important to Judaism, a little more important than you, Bruce. However, if we say it's learning Torah per se, women are not obligated in learning Torah. So perhaps they don't have to say the whole korbanos. They have to say korbanos in terms of it's in place of bringing korbanos, but they probably would not have to say it as a fulfillment of learning Torah. And therefore they wouldn't have to understand it for sure. They just have to say it. And that would be enough. So as you can see, you have something in the Siddur. And we this morning very simply asked, why do we say it? And we brought two points of view. Why do we say korbanos every day? And again, it's an obligation. Either
The reenactment
means you reenact.
Right. The replacement.
The replacement of bringing korbanos or
learning Torah,
third. Practical ramifications, we brought three. Bruce's ramification was, if you have korbanos. Second ramification is, do you have to understand what you say? And the third ramification is, women. So, as you could see, it's in the Siddur every day. You may have seen it. And now you have two different reasons why we have picked those passages specifically every single day. Having said all of that, I believe that we have to add one more thing into this discussion. And that is that, as you could see, the world of Korbanot, the world of the Beis HaMikdash that was and will be, is not something that is like winning the lottery. If it happens, I'll be the happiest man in the world, I'll give donations to all the worthy causes, etc. Having a Beis HaMikdash and Korbanos is part and parcel of Judaism, and every single day you should sit around, Bruce, and say something is missing. As a matter of fact, there is a point of view that's not accepted of the Halacha, the Mishnah Berurah brings it, of Rav Yaakov Emden. He states that Birkas Kohanim, Duchening today, is only the Rabbanim. It's rabbinic. Why? Because in Parshat Shmini, it says that Aharon came down from bringing the Korbanos and blessed the people. There's no Korbanos today. And therefore, blessing the people is only the Rabbanim. It's not accepted lahalacha for probably two simple reasons. Actually, one simple reason. And what is that? You read it, but 2 weeks ago. Those that are listening in Chutz Laaretz, you read it but a week ago. Kol tevarchu et bnei Yisrael emor lahem. Yevarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. Yehashem v'amlecha v'chuneka. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, bless the Jewish people. Say anything about Korbanos? In Parshat Naso, it says, bless the Jewish people. Finished. Rav Yaakov Emden feels that the Parsha in Shmini actually teaches us that it's only the Rabbanim. The reason he says that, it's because of another halacha that's very important for Kohanim to know. In Masechet Sota, it's brought, and this is lahalacha, that if the Kohanim don't start making their way to the front of the shul, at which part of davening?
Ritzei.
They can't duchen. What's Ritzei about?
I always thought that was about
Shabbos. What's Ritzei about? Not the Ritzei we say in benching, but good guess. The Ritzei in davening. Ritzei Hashem Elokeinu. Ba'amcha Yisrael b'tfilatam, v'hashevis ha'avodah lidvir beitecha, v'yishei Yisrael. What is it about? What's word ritzei? V'nirtzalo l'chaper alav. We use it in the Torah many times. What's ritzei? God find favor in what? When is the term ritzei used and utilized?
Types of service?
With regard to korbanot! And indeed, in that particular passage of Ritzei, we talk about v'hashevet ha'avodah l'dvir beitecha, bring back the holy sacrificial work to your Beis HaMikdash and accept our prayers. A minute before we said Shomea Tefillah, Ritzei is not talking about just accepting prayers, it's talking about the sacrificial work we used to have. And therefore, at that point, the Kohanim go up. So Rav Yaakov Emden is not totally off. On the other hand, he's not accepted l'halacha, and probably today duchening is the oraisa. But I believe that we have to at least look at his point of view and say, today, when we daven, when we learn, when we lane, when we celebrate the holidays and Shabbos, there is something missing. And anywhere you look, the sitter is reminding you of that. What happens when you finish the Amidah? The Rama brings the custom, and it's printed in all the sitters as well. Yehi ratzon milfanecha Hashem Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoteinu. Sheyibaneh Beis HaMikdash b'mheira b'yameinu. So you finish the Amidah, you thought you did a good job. The sitter's there to remind you something's missing. Shabbos, we had a wonderful Friday night. Shabbos morning, beautiful chazan, laning, speech. We can smell the cholent already. And then there's Musaf. And in the Musaf, we bring again the plea before God, may we return to bringing the korbanos. And by the way, Shabbos doesn't have like ganz korbanos like Yantif. What's the whole big deal on Shabbos? Every day you bring an ola, a burnt offering. What do you bring on Shabbos? Two more, shnei chvasim b'nei shana tamimim, that's it. And yet a whole ganz musaf. Yantif, I don't have to tell you, with nechataenu, galinu, meratzenu, etc. So as you can see, anywhere you look, you have to be reminded that what we're living like today is not enough. It's not like, all right, we don't have a lot of money, so we can't be a big philanthropist. We didn't win the lottery as of yet. We still make a living. Korbanot, Beis HaMikdash, is part and parcel of Judaism. And every single day we have to be reminded that something is missing. So as much as have we gained, and we've gained a lot, and as much as we have, and we have a lot, we have to be reminded every single day that something is missing. And therefore I believe Chazal, and Anshei Knesset Agdolah, and later on all those that contributed to the Siddur, didn't just prick korbanos as a means of learning Torah, if that's the reason. Because they looked and they said randomly, all right, let's pick something. Because if it was just learning Torah, they could have picked anything. Why did they specifically pick korbanos? So if you say it's in place of korbanos, then we understand why. But if you say it's just a means to learning Torah, why did they pick korbanos? To remind us every single day, something is missing. And that's the way a Jew has to live in this day and age. We have a lot, and yet something's still missing. Have a good day, everyone.